All right. Good morning. Today's daf is daf Yitzes in Zvachim. We are at the two dafs on Yitzes Amud Beis. And this is Clothing Makes the Man Part 2. Yesterday we talked about how when you're only a Kohen when you're wearing your begadim, when you're not wearing your begadim, you're not a Kohen. That's obviously a superlative, that's hyperbole. It's not like that, but it is something like that. We learned yesterday that part of the reason why a Kohen who's mechus begadim, who was deficient in clothing, he's not wearing all of his regalia, he's not wearing all of his big day kahuna, so he can't do the avodah. And in fact, we learned yesterday that if he does the avodah, we learned in the first mishnah, the second parak of Zvachim, which we're still on, if he doesn't wear all of his begadim, he's considered a zar, he's considered a non-Kohen. We know a non-Kohen that does the avodah is mechala, he profanes the avodah. So the same thing is true regarding a Kohen who's mechus begadim. He's not bekihuno, he's not in his full regalia, he's not in his big day kuna, and there consequently he's a zar, he's a non-Kohen. And if he does the avodah, it'll be mechala the avodah. So that was our big discussion yesterday. We talked about sources of where that comes from yesterday. We talked about clothing that's not tailored correctly, right? That was a big discussion yesterday. If it's too long, if it's too short, if it's dragging on the floor, what if it's dragging on the floor and you bunch it up under your belt? Was that going to work? So those are the discussions that we had yesterday. The halacha, the conclusion of yesterday's gemara is like, Rav, it has to be form-fitting. It has to be really tailored to his height so that it cannot be the sonus that he's wearing, the tunic that he's wearing, can't be too long, it can't be too short, though, despite the fact that the Braista yesterday sounded like it was okay, but Rav says, no, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that it has to really fit him. Cannot be too long or nor too short. Okay, that's what we talked about yesterday. We talked a little bit about Ksus Laila yesterday. Tzitzis and Ksus Laila, but that came as an aside. Tanu Rabbanan, about 15 lines from the bottom of the page, at the two dots. And we're going to talk now about how to put together, how to construct the Big Day Kahuna. Tanu Rabbanan, Big Day Bad, the Torah describes as Big Day Bad. Don't make anything of this, it's a gematria. So you know what I mean? Gematrias only get you so far. But the word Bad is Beis Dalad, right? Beis is 2 and Dalad is 4 and that's 6. So you'll see 6 is a big number in today's daf, even though today's daf is daf Yitzes. But they are, okay, it's just a gematria. Nope, nobody get that excited. So the and I made it up. So Vachiyu Shelbut. So number one, it has to be made up of linen. So the clothing that is worn by the Kohen, the Kohanim, are made up of linen. That's number one. Vachiyu Chadashim. Number two is it has to be new clothing. Vachiyu Shizurim. It has to be spun. Vachiyu Chutan Kafel Shisha. It's got to be each strand's got to be made up of 6 strings intertwined, interwoven. And finally, and by the way, that's your number 6, right? It has to be made up of 6 strings. And you can't wear any other clothing, can't wear any foreign clothing. It has to be just the big day kahuna, and that's it. Again, let's just quickly review for the Kohen Hedjot. It's Mechnesayim, he wears a pair of pants. It's a ksonis, it's a tunic that he wears over on top of it that basically goes from the shoulders all the way down to the floor. It is mitznefes, it's a belt, and it's a hat. That's it. That's the begadim of a Kohen Hedjot. Kohen Gadol wears 4 additional clothings over that. And what we learned right now is the halachas all generated from the word bad. Now the word bad itself, how do we generate these halachas? So some of these halachas Rashi connects to the word bad, and some of them are just difficult to connect. Like for example, the last halacha we just learned, you can't wear any other clothing with it. Rashi says, yeah, that comes from the word bad. Bad is a subcategory of the word livad, livado. It has to be worn by itself. So it can't be any other foreign clothing worn. So that's how Rashi connects the last halacha of the Braisa with the word bad. Okay, some of them don't connect so well. So Amalei Abayi LeRav Yosef Bishlam Ishu Shel Butz HaKamash Malan Butz Emid Echrin Elo. So the Gemara says, look, the part of the Braisa I do understand is it has to be made up of linen. And only linen. It has to be 100% linen. Right? You can't have any other material as part of the fabric of the Big Day Kahuna. El Abad Shiu Chadashim Chadashin Shchakin Lo. So the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what I find problematic. The Braisa says it has to be new. And it can't be worn out and it can't be old. Now, if you remember, in the middle of yesterday's daf, at the bottom of yesterday's page, we said, worn clothing is okay. Not the best, but it's okay. The Hatanya, the Gemara, immediately quotes that Braisa, Meshuchak and Ksherim. that if it's worn out, it's okay. So how did this braisa say that it's necessary? So Amalei l'tamech bashi yuchutim kafel shisha bad chad chad l'chudei mashma. The Gemara says, look, we also learned in this braisa that each string has to be made up of six strings, right? It has to be, you have to use twine that's woven. Woven by from six strings. You don't get that from the word bad. In fact, the Gemara says the word bad by itself means alone. So if I'm just going with the pshat in the word by itself, the word means levad. So how do you generate the halacha that each strand has to be made up of six strings? You know, you don't get that from the word bad. Ella, hachikamer, begadim shenemra behem bad, tsrichim shiusha but chadashim shazurim, shiuchutin kafel shisha. The Braisa is not really deducing everything from the word bad. That's not what the Braisa is doing. The Braisa is just simply giving us a list of things which are you should look for in Big Day Kahuna. Yesh mehem la mitzvah, yesh mehem la akev. Some things are required. Sorry, let me go in the correct order. Some things are a mitzvah, some things are more than nice. Like things you should really look for. And things are le'ikuv and certain things which are absolutely necessary. So the Gemara says, so good, so now we're going to have a somewhat more nuanced understanding of the Braisa. The Braisa does not mean that every single halacha over here comes from the word bad. It just simply means these are the list of things you have to look for in Big Day Kahuna. Now some of them, like linen, 100% linen, that's an absolute. That it cannot be any other way. Some things are le'mitzvah, right? It has to be new and not worn out. That's a mitzvah, meaning that's zekil ivan behu. That's just to beautify the mitzvah. But if you wore worn-out clothing, it happens to be not the first time you're using this clothing, it's okay. Mimai dahai bad kisnehu. The Gemara says, now good. How do I know that the word bad actually refers to linen? Where do we make that connection? So I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Davar Ha'olam, and Akarka, bad bevad. Because the word bad, again, we keep going back to Rashi. Rashi says the bad comes from the word levad, which means alone. It has to be a standalone. So you have to look for something organic that grows from the ground, that grows individually. Right? Bad bivad, individually. So the Gemara says, and that's flax. Now it would help, I'll be honest with you, if I ever saw flax grown from the ground one time in my life. It would help. But I will trust the Gemara right now, being that I have no other empiric knowledge, that yeah, flax grows individually. Anyone here seen flax grow? It's a pasuk in Yeshua. Okay, good. All right, so I'm in good company. It's good to know. So davar ha'olam in a karka bad bevad. Ema amra. So the Gemara says, okay, but wool on the sheep, meaning we're looking for something organic that grows. And the Gemara says, well, and the only thing organic that grows individually is linen. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Wool on the sheep. It's another organic growth that grows individually. So it's good because the Gemara made a jump from going from karka to an animal. But still, the point is still essentially the same point. It grows individually. Each wool strand that comes off the sheep that grows from the sheep is individual. So the Gemara says, Imra Niftzal. Gemara says, yeah, but you ever look at the sheep and you look at the wool and it kind of splits, it flays. In other words, it's not. Right, you know, it doesn't grow like hair from our head. Our hair from our head, you know, it grows in strands. But once it comes from the wool, it kind of tufts out. So the Gemara says, "Kisna nami mifsal." The Gemara says, "Well, I can make the same argument by linen, right? Flax that's banged out. You see the fibers, the strands start flaying out." So the Gemara says it's different. Mifsal yidei lakusa mifsal. The Gemara says, "Yeah, that's true. But in order to see that in the flax, you got to pound it out." And so by flax, without any human intervention, it just grows individually. Wool on the sheep flays out on its own. So if we're looking something that resembles, that defines the word bad, which is levad, which is independent, singular, so really the flax is a better definition. Could be, by the way, I mean, again, I'm just saying this, I don't know if what I'm saying is correct. Could very well be, oh. Here we go. Okay, that's flax. Okay. Okay, crack research team. It could very well be that although the Gemara is trying to seek definition, it could be that it's just simply part of Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. The Rambam says this when the Gemara in Sukkah talks about Esrog, and the Gemara goes through the similar avenues of, well, maybe Esrog can mean this, and maybe Esrog. No, the Torah doesn't say the word Esrog. You know that. Torah says pre-Eitz Hadar. And how do we know pre-Eitz Hadar is an Esrog? And the Rambam writes, the Rambam in his Perashat Mishnayos writes this, Rambam writes, look, the Gemara does this, the Gemara looks to connect the fruit to the term used in the Torah, but the truth of the matter is, it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. That's just simply the tradition that when the Torah says Pri Eitz Hadar, it's referring to an Esrog. Could be, again, it's just my suggestion, could be the same thing over here, that although the Gemara is trying to connect, right, the Torah describes it as Big Day Bad, right, clothing of Bad. And it could be, it's just simply part of the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and the Gemara here is helping us connect flax to the word. Okay. Ravina Amar Mehacha, Ravina says, look, you know, all you have to know is Tanakh, which I don't, but if you know Tanakh, so then you'll know that, of course, Bad is referring to linen. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. Pe'ere pishtim yiyu al rosham, u'michnase pishtim yiyu al maslehem, lo yachgaru biza. Right? The pasuk in Yecheskel. It's pretty clear. Pasuk in Yecheskel is describing the begadim of the Kohanim, and it says, and what are they wearing? Pishtim. They're wearing flax. Linen. Okay, good. And so Amalei Ravashi, so here the Gemara goes into its classic, you know, classic Tanakh discussion. Amalei Ravashi L'Ravina V'ha Adas Yecheskel Minalan. Yeah, and so good. So now Yecheskel helped us define what the Big Day Bad is. It's linen. And who told us before Yecheskel? The Tamech, the Gemara says, that's not a question. Ha'adam Rav Chisa David Zemi Toros Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Lamanu Midivrei Yecheskel Ben Buzni Lamanu. Let's go to another pasuk and say for Yecheskel. Kol Ben Echa Arel Leiv Arel Basar Lo Yavol Mikdashi. L'Sharsin is not part of the pasuk. You can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash when you're an Arel. If the Kohen is an Arel, right, the Pasuk Navi describes two types of Arel, Arel Lev and Arel Basar. So Arel Lev means, like I've, you know, like my expression I used all the time, he's off the reservation. Right, Rashi says he is Arel Lev, I'm sorry, yeah, Ben Nechar, Shinis Nachru Masav Machmas Arlas Libo Shehu Arel Lev Rasha. Right, he's not with us anymore. He's religiously off the reservation, so that's someone who can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Disqualified from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. A Mobar Kohen Momer can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The other thing that's being discussed in Yecheskel is Arel Basar, which means that he's physically uncircumcised. And Rashi here, right, and count on Rashi to do this, because he does this every single time. Arel Basar, Shemesu Achav Machmas Mila. Right, so, and why didn't he get a circumcision? It's not a religious issue, it's a health issue. Older brothers died because of a milah, and the parents had another child, and they did the right thing by not giving their son a milah. So, it's nothing to do with him, nothing to do with his religious belief. He's a believing, observant Kohen. He just simply is a, I guess we'll call it a mum. It's a blemish that he doesn't have a milah, and therefore he cannot function in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, that pasuk, you're not going to find neither of these halachas in the Torah. And meanwhile, here we're reading Sefer Yecheskel, and we're learning these halachas for the first time. So the Gemara says it's not the first time. Ela Gemara Gemirla, the Gemara says it's just tradition, meaning what we will call Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. V'as Yecheskel v'as Mechei Akron. All Yecheskel did was just concretize it and put it in Pesukim. Hachanami Gemara Gemirla says same thing over here, meaning our halachas of the clothing of the Kohanim have to be made up of linen. And Yecheskel is the first one who says it? No, he's not the first one who says it. It's the first one who put it in word. It is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and Yecheskel put it into print. Okay. The last part of that pasuk in Yecheskel, right? Kol Benecha Arel. No, not that. I'm sorry. No, back to our Pe'eri Pishtim. So the pasuk in Yecheskel describing the begadim of the Kohanim, Pe'eri Pishtim Yu'al Rosham, U'michnas Pishtim Yu'al Masnehem, Lo Yachru Biza. Yeah, I didn't know what that meant either. Right, lo yachru biza, yachgor means to belt. They don't belt biza. What does that mean? So lo yachru biza, I'm a rabbi, lo yachru b'makom shemizian. Oh, don't put the belt on where you sweat. Okay? And now we're going to talk about, remember, this is Clothing Makes the Man Part 2 today. We're going to talk about where the correct placement of the belt is. Where should you wear your belt? I know all men right now are going to be looking where their belt is, see where they are in relation to the Kohanim. But we're going to learn now that the Kohanim have to put in a specific place. It's more about where they shouldn't put it. Shouldn't put it in a place where they sweat and perspire. Kiditanya, we learned in a brisa, Kishem Chogrim, in Chogrim lo lemata memasneim, velo lamala me'atzilehem. So not underneath their masnehem, not underneath their loins. That doesn't mean anything to me or you. Rashi over here describes not under the belly, or to use a scientific term, not under the boich. Right? That's the That's when you cannot place the belt. Right, Rashi? Look at the second to last Rashi on the page. Makam shenichva v'nofel shuman habeten al hal kalbisos. Right? So, where the stomach lies over. So apparently there was no health diet program for the Kohanim. They had somewhat of a belly, and okay. So you can't put it under there. And again, the issue is it seems from the Gemara. The simple pshat in the Gemara is that there's too much perspiration over there, and that's no good for the belt. It could be a function of we don't want the belt to get dirty. Could be a function of it's going to get worn out quicker. Right? Something along those lines. And also, too high is lamala me'atzi lehem. Right? Wearing the belt basically high up on your chest or goes under your armpits. Again, same issue. Right? That's what the pasuk in Yechezkel is describing. Lo yachru biza, the place where you're maziah, the place where you're sweating. And again, it's the same issue. So it can't be that high, can't be that low. Ela keneged atzila yedehem. So basically, elbow. In other words, when your arms drop to your body and you bend up your arms and now you feel where your elbows are, that's where your belt should be. Okay? Kohanim I'm talking to. Okay? I think in today's society, I think that may be a little too high. But this is not... This is not. We're not over here to learn about how to dress. So for Yumi, keneged atzilah yedem. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Lihuna bar Nasan. Zimna chada havakai. Zimna kamei. The is gader malka. But the Gemara says no. This is actually. In other words, once we learn how the Kohanim need to belt themselves, so basically now this is the kavali sifaris. This is really a function of honor. And splendor. So the Gemara tells a story about Huna bar Nasan, who goes in front of a Persian king, right? Izgadar is the Persian king's name. Okay? The Hava Madlile Hemene. And I was wearing my belt too high. The Taisi Nihale. And so what he did is he came over to me and he pulled the belt down. Right? That's how Rashi describes it. The Hivshita Lamata Kedelan Osa, because I wasn't wearing it properly. I was wearing it too high up. And so he, the king, pulled the belt down. So good. So you people, Rav Huna is not a Kohen, at least I don't think. And he says, you people are mamleches Kohanim, meaning, good, the Kohanim have a certain way to wear the belt. All of you should be wearing it that way. Meaning you are a mamleches Kohanim, you're a nation Kohanim. And this is how you should dress with prestige and royalty. Right? Kings, right, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, kings will be your omen. Right? Vayhi omen es hadasa. Right? Mordechai took care of Esther. And similarly over here, kings are going to take care of you. You're going to get dressed by kings. Right, and that's that story over there is a key of that prophecy. Okay, I mentioned yesterday. Good. So placement of the belt, check. I mentioned yesterday there are Mishnayos in Erevin at the end of Erevin that talked about Kohanim doing the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, a little bit of background before we do this mission in Erevin. Right, obviously I didn't have today's daf prepared yesterday, otherwise I would have said, oh, it's tomorrow's daf. So the in the Mishnayos in Erevin, so the Mishnayos there describe how if you're a Kohen and you have a cut or a wound, so you can wear a bandage in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now, we're learning Masechta Zvachim and we're learning about the Big Day Kahuna. We're concerned over here in our Masechta about the halachas of Begadim. Meaning we want to know what is a beged, what isn't a beged, because we learned in our Mishnah that if you're not wearing the right begadim, it's your mechus begadim, you're going to disqualify the avoda. Good. That's us in Zvachim. The Mishnah in Erevin is focused about Hilchos Shabbos. Right? The end of Erevin is kind of like an epilogue to Masechta Shabbos. Right? Masechta Shabbos, 24 parakim of Hilchos Shabbos. Then there are another 10 parakim of Erevin. That last parak of Erevin kind of goes away from Erevin, the world of Erevin, and enters back into the world of Shabbos. It's almost like an epilogue. Okay? And one of the Mishnayos over there, which we're about to learn, discusses, if you're a Kohen and you're doing the Avoda on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, and you have a cut, so you can wrap up a bandage on your cut. And it's not a problem of Hilchos Shabbos. What halachas of Shabbos is the Mishnah in Erevin concerned with? So You're not allowed to do medicine on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. Refuah on Shabbos is prohibited rabbinically because the rabbis were concerned about tzchikas hasamemanim. Your pharmacists, even to today, but much less today, would sit there with their what's that thing called? Pestle? Pestle? The tea is silent. Okay, mortar and pestle.
Grind this.
Pestle. Okay. I'm not going to argue. So you take your pestle and your mortar and you grind your spices, and that's a malach on Shabbos. That's tochin. That's grinding on Shabbos. You're not allowed to grind on Shabbos. That's a malach daraisa. So out of concern of that, the rabbis therefore said that any type of refuah that's not life threatening, right? That doesn't give you any type of life challenges. It's just tsar, just pain. Just pain. That's all it is. But if it's just pain, so that you cannot do on Shabbos. And this is exerud the rabbanon of tzchikas hasamemanim, of grinding up of the medicine. Therefore, you're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. But it's a rabbinic enactment. We also know, just one other word of introduction, is that ein shvus b'mikdash, that in the Beis HaMikdash, I'll say all, but it's not all, most of the rabbinic gzeras are lifted in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a general rule of ein shvus b'mikdash. Good. So what the Mishnah in Erevin basically says is that if they put a bandage, which was a therapeutic bandage, right, we'll talk more about that later this morning, if you put on a therapeutic bandage, that's okay in the Beis HaMikdash, right? That's not a problem, because even though for the rest of us, for the Medina, that's prohibited because of refuah, but ein shvus b'mikdash, it's only rabbinic prohibition, and that doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Mishnah in Erevin. What our Gemara is going to do now is it's going to quote the Mishnah in Erevin, we're going to learn it together, and then we're going to say, but wait a second, right? Good. So in other words, there's no Shabbos issue. What about begadim issue? Right? What, he's wearing a beged. Okay, so good. So I'm just setting us up. And then we're gonna learn all this inside. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah. Kohen Shalaka be'etz ba'o. Kohen has got a wound on his finger. Korech ala hagemi b'mikdash. So you can wrap a gemi. Gemi is some sort of soft, leafy bandage. And as the Gemara will say in just a moment, it actually is therapeutic. It has some sort of, maybe it was an aloe leaf. Could be. Okay. So, korech ala gemi b'mikdash avalo b'medina, but you can't do that outside the Beis HaMikdash because for the reason I just explained. V'im lo hotzi mimenu dam, kan v'kan oser. Now, if you're putting the bandage on in order to squeeze and to express blood, that you cannot do. Even the Beis HaMikdash you can't do. That's chabura, that's asiyas chabura. You can't do that. You can't express blood. And that's an issur d'oraisa, so that you can't do even in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chiya lo shanu ala gami aval tzotzo katan havi yisur begadim. So now, what we're going to do, we just quote the Mishnah in Erevin. Now the Mishnah in Erevin says that to put a bandage on, that's okay. That's not a problem of mechusur begadim or yisur begadim. Remember, we learned either less begadim than what you're supposed to wear or more begadim than what you're supposed to wear is going to be a problem. So, Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei de Rabbi Chiya says, that's only talking about a gemi. Right, your little aloe leaf. But if you're wearing like a small strap, small belt around your hand, belt is not the right word, but in other words, it's kind of like a strap, that you can't do because that's a beged. And now you're in violation of yisur begadim, meaning no longer it's a Shabbos issue. It's an issue of you can't function as a kohen doing the avodah when you're wearing too many clothing. V'Rav Yochanan Amar lo Amar yisur begadim ela b'makom begadim aval shelo b'makom begadim lo havi yisur. So Rav Yochanan says, no, I don't know. No, I totally disagree. There's no such thing as yisur begadim on a place where you don't wear a beged. Meaning we're talking about your hand. A kohen doesn't wear a beged on his hand. So therefore, it doesn't matter what he wraps it up with, an aloe leaf, a strap, it doesn't matter. It can never be defined as a beged if it's on an area of the body where he never wears a beged. The Gemara says, now, there's another issue which the Gemara says we should take into consideration. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Isn't there a problem with chatzitza? Meaning, whenever a kohen has to do the avoda, there has to be skin to kli contact. Kohen has to actually hold the kli in his hand. So if his hand is all wrapped up, regardless of what it's wrapped up with, so he's not going to be touching the object. So the Gemara says, "Bismol yinam ishlo b'makom avoda." So the Gemara says, "Look, that's not a big deal. We could be talking about where the wound is on his left hand. He doesn't do avoda with his left hand. He's doing the avoda with his right hand. Or it could be talking about a place where he's not doing the avoda, meaning the back of his hand. Right? Either way, So there's no chatzitza issue.
What if it was on his leg, wrapped around his leg? He had a cut on
so
his leg.
That's going to be a problem because the leg, there has to be begadim on the leg.
So he just couldn't do the service.
Right. Uplig. Yitr begadim comes from bad bevad. Levad. So upligi de rava de amar rava amar rav chisim b'makom begadim afilu nima achas chotzetzes shelo b'makom begadim shalosh ashalosh chotzetzes pakos mekan einan chotzetzes. So the Gemara quotes a halacha by Rava. Rava says, look, if it's makom begadim, if it's the area where your begadim are, and you have one strand, one extraneous strand of anything, it doesn't matter. That's a chatzitza. That's a separation. And you are now formally disqualified from doing the avoda. If it's not in an area where you wear clothing, meaning your hand, let's say it's on, and let's talk about your left hand. So we can leave chatzitza out of the issue as well. So it depends. If it is 3x3 etzbaos, an etzba is about an inch, approximately, the width of your thumb. Gimel ma gimel etzbaos. 3x3 fingers. So it's about a patch of fabric, a swatch of 3x3 inches. So Rava says that's a chatzitza. Now Rashi says careful.
That's a baguette.
Wait, yeah, good. So Rashi says careful over here. When the Gemara uses the word chatzitza, don't take the Gemara literally. The Gemara here doesn't mean the word chatzitza. Rashi says shalosh hashalosh chotzetzos. Rashi's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Klamar have a yisur begadim, meaning the what Rava here is really referring to is that extra baguette. It's you're now wearing an extra, not layer, but an extra article of clothing. And why did the Gemara use the word chatzitza, which is a misnomer in this Gemara? Because we see this all the time for purposes of symmetry. In the first part of Rava's statement, he had to use the word chatzitza because that's what we were talking about. Nima achas. We were talking about a strand that separates your skin from the beged. That's an issue of chatzitza. So therefore, the second half of Rava's statement, he uses the same terminology, but loosely. It's not an issue of chatzitza, it's an issue of yisur begadim. Good. And Rav Yochanan vade pligi. So the Gemara says, look, he certainly argues with Rav Yochanan. There's no question about it, because Rav Yochanan says, anything you wear that's not on a place where you normally dress is not considered yisur begadim. So can we pit Rava against Rav Yochanan? Absolutely. They definitely argue. So the Gemara says, but I don't have to say that Rav is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said earlier that if you are wearing tzotzot katan, if you're wearing a small strap on your hand, that's a chatzitza. And again, chatzitza, we're going to use the term loosely. It means that's an extra beged. It could be that there's no disagreement. If it's a swatch, if it's a patch of fabric, so you need 3x3. If it's tzotzot katan, it's a functional strap, even though it may not meet the criteria of 3x3, but it's chashav, it's significant, it's independent. And so therefore it may function as yisur beged. Lishna Achrin of the Gemara now will go through the same discussion we just had, slightly modified version. Different version. Amrile Amr of Yehuda Breda Rabbi Chiel Oshana Elegemi Aval Tzitzo Katan Chot States. A small belt is going to serve as a chatzitz, and again, we'll say it again, he doesn't mean chatzitz, he meant an extra beged. Rav Yochanan Amr lo Amr chatzitz b'pachos mishalosh ha-shalosh ela b'makom begadim aval shalo b'makom begadim shalosh ha-shalosh chotzitzos pachos mikan eina chotzitzos. So here Rav Yochanan basically agrees with Rava. It's got to be a swatch of 3x3. V'hainu d'Rava. And the Gemara says, and yeah. And according to this Lishna Achrina, Rav Yochanan is in sync with Rava. Amar Rav Chisla Lema Pligei d'Rav Yehuda B'rei d'Rav Yechia. Could he argue, is he definitely arguing with Rav Yehuda B'rei d'Rav Yechia? And the Gemara says, no, Shani Tzotzot Katan D'Chashev. No, it could be that he agrees. If it's just a swatch, if it's just a patch of fabric, it's got to be 3x3. But it could be that the tzotzot katan is significant, and therefore, even if it's not 3x3, it will serve as yisur beged. Uli Rebbe Yochanan. Let me just finish up this thread. My irya gemi lishmeinan tzotzot katan. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why gemi? Why not talk about tzotzot katan? Milsav agavorchi kamashmalan de gemi. So the Gemara says, look, you're right. We could have been talking about tzotzot katan, but Also, just as long as we are discussing halacha, just know that a gemi, this leaf, which I'm guessing is an aloe leaf, but that's just a guess, this leaf is in fact therapeutic, and if had it not been a Shabbos issue or a Beged issue, it's in general a good idea. In other words, just good medicinal advice to put this on if you have a wound.
It's a question really that what is holding that gemi on the body? It's that little bell.
If it is in fact the Gemara also is assuming that if it's a self-standing gemi, if you can wrap the gemi up, so then it would possibly be a chatzitza. Okay, a velcro. Then for sure, right? That's a deal breaker. Gemara now will go through a series of questions. We know now, we've well established that the begadim of the Kohen have to be on his body. We know that he can't wear any other clothing. Any other clothing which is extraneous to the clothing that he's wearing, which is extra to the clothing that he's wearing, serves as Yisur Beged, which will be disqualifier. And that's no good. And now the Gemara will ask a series of questions of what is a chatzitza. So, some of these questions are unbelievable. By Rava, what if you had a gust of wind? And remember, it's a tunic. It's not, you know, it's not right. It's not like the clothing we wear. So, and what if a gust of wind comes under, basically blows it up? So now there's a puff of air. So the clothing is not actually on his body. In other words, it's not form fitting. It's not actually making contact with his body. So al b'saro be'inan. So on one hand, the Torah says it has to be al b'saro. That's actually a quote of the pasuk. It has to be on his body, which presumably means that it has to be contact, clothing to flesh contact. V'haleka odilma derech levisha bekachor. The Gemara says no. Al b'gado just simply means it has to be on his body in the form of it has to be. He has to wear it. But it could very well be that even though it's not physically touching his body, but still that's derech levisha. That's the way it's worn. Okay, and you'll see, it's still going to be a little frustrating with all of these questions. Gemara kind of just leaves these questions open-ended. Number two, kina mal shetachlis. What if you have a louse, right? You suffer from lice. You have a louse on your body. So, mesa lo tibaylach. If the louse is dead, that's a chatzitza. Okay? Devadai chaitza. That for sure is a chatzitza because you don't want it there. And it's dead. Chaya mai mi amrina kemen da asava azle revisa hi velo chaitza odilma kemen da kapit Allah chaitza. If it's a live louse, so the Gemara says it may not be a chatzitza. It may be what the Gemara refers to as asava azle revisa hi. It's just simply part of the natural part of your body. Could very well be. Look, okay, you have lice on your body. Fine. Somewhat of a shame, but it is the natural part of your body. Offer Maushiach. So the Gemara says, what if you have dirt on your body? And now the garments that you're wearing is being separated between you and your body by dirt. So Afar Vadechai. So the Gemara says that's not even a question, obviously. Ella Avak Afar Mahu. Like a thin layer of dust. Like dust of dust. Right, so Gemara basically says you have when you go wear your begadim, the kohanim, you have to. In other words, again, the Gemara leaves this question unopened, unanswered. But you know, in the question, basically the assumption is like nothing. Your body has to be really clean. Beis Hashechi Maushi Yachutz. What about the Beis Hashechi? The Beis Hashechi. What the Gemara is asking over here is the it's not touching your armpits, right? Arashi. Avir Rashi is towards the bottom. Three lines, four lines before the lines become wide. Avir Beis HaShechi Kigon. Bati Zorosav Shechalukosha Hu Rachav Ve'eno Noge Beis HaShechi Mal Sheyachutz Fetzorch Sheyu Bati Zorosav Dechukim Ve'nogim Be'basar. Right? Do you have to have the sleeves basically coming into contact with your armpits? So Mal Sheyachutz Al-Besar Benin V'Haleka Odilma Derech Levisha Bekach. Again, it's essentially the same question. When the Torah says al b'saro, is that literally, or is it the Torah just simply saying no? That's how it's worn. Hichnis yado l'socheko. Right. When we were young, we used to do this move a lot. Take your arms out of your sleeves and put it into your shirt. And the Gemara wants to know now: is your arm considered a chatzitza? Right, it's part of your body. Can something of your body form a chatzitza? Mahu gufo michayitz alone? And the Gemara again leaves this question unresolved. Nima Maushe Tachutz. What about a strand? Now, Nima could mean a hair. I don't think it means that over here. Right? Rashi says it. Rashi says we're talking about a thread. Nima Maushe Tachutz. Nima Vade Chaitza. The Gemara says, no, that for sure is going to be Chotzeitz. Ela Nima Midul Dalas Mahu. What if you have a thread coming off your clothing? Right? Very often you'll find, at least by me, right? You'll see your clothing start to flay. And you have threads coming off. So those threads coming off the clothing, are those threads that are going to serve as a chatzitza? Again, that's the question. That's the question. By Mar Baravashi, Yatsa Sa'aro Bivigdo Mahu. What if the Kohen's hair is getting long? We're talking about the hair on his head. That's what Rashi says. Yatsa Sa'aro. Look at Rashi, second wide line. Meirosha Lamata Ad Shenichnas Bein Sonas L'Bisaro. So your tunic basically goes up to your neck, and your hair is growing down now, so that your hair is actually serving as a separation. It's a strange question. The Gemara, Kohanim need to get a haircut often, right? Once a month, Kohanim need to get a haircut.
Well, maybe their hair level was so low that it goes down.
Right? Could very well be, but okay. So Yatsa Sa'aro Bivigdo Mahu Sa'aro Kegufo Dami. Do we view hair as part of your body? Oh, lo Kegufo Dami, or no? Is it not part of your body? Okay. By Rabbi Zeret, Filin Maushi Achotzo. Oh, here we go. Okay, good. So we have now 10 unbelievably interesting lines of Gemara, where the Gemara now is going to entertain the discussion of whether tefillin serve as a chatzitza. Okay, just a little bit of an introduction. Now, tefillin is a mitzvah that we know we wear tefillin every single day. It's a mitzvah to wear tefillin every single day. The truth of the matter is that really, the Ikar Adin, you should be wearing tefillin all the time. You should be wearing tefillin all day. Back in the good old days, they used to. Tanaim, Amarayim, right? Rashi actually was reported to have worn tefillin all day.
Right.
I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva. His name shall remain nameless because this is all getting taped. And he wore his tefillin shalyad all day. He didn't tell anybody. Okay, the problem is, why don't we, meaning the rest of us, we don't, because you need gufnaki, you need a clean body. And it's very difficult to maintain a clean body for the duration of the day, not passing gas anytime while you're wearing tefillin, and so therefore we limit our wearing of tefillin. But truth be told, tefillin is a mitzvah all day. So now you're a kohen, and on one hand you want to do the avodah, on the other hand you also have this mitzvah of tefillin. So, how do these mitzvahs interplay with one another? Okay, so already, you can already guess that we're going to distinguish between the tefillin shel rosh and the tefillin shel yad. Tefillin shel rosh, that's not a big deal. Meaning, you can... Now, the Kohen does wear a hat on his head, so that's going to be a little bit of a...
Leather.
Right? Well, he wears the hat, so the... So, but we'll talk later on that the hat doesn't go all the way to the front. The hat is kind of worn on the back. So in other words, so you could wear... You in theory could wear tefillin. So on your head, your tefillin shel rosh, you could wear while wearing your big day kahuna. The Gemara will make that distinction in just a little bit. Right? Just a little bit of a foreshadow. But the tefillin shel yad, that's obviously going to be an issue. Because we have been now sitting and asking questions about air pockets being a chatzitza. Well, if air pockets are going to be a chatzitza, can you imagine tefillin that you're wearing on your arm? That for sure is going to be a chatzitza. And this is now the Gemara is going to entertain this question. Is your tefillin going to be a chatzitza for the big day kahuna? Okay. So let's see this inside. Let's see the discussion of the Gemara. By Rabbi Zeret, tefillin maushi achotzu. Ali b'demanda amar laila loves man tefillin hu lo tibayalach. So the Gemara argues like this. This is not the first place I would have gotten in an argument, but the Gemara argues like this. Laila loves man tefillin hu. Well, you know, there's a big machlokas whether or not nighttime is acceptable time to wear tefillin. Major machlokas tonight. If we entertain the notion that nighttime is not zman tefillin, which is, by the way, how we hold. Lahalacha, nighttime is lav zman tefillin. So then, good. So then, the Gemara says, of course, it's going to be a chatzitza. And listen to the argument. Okay, it's going to be somewhat of a difficult argument to explain, but I'll try. Lo tibaylach kaven de laila chaytzei yom nami chaytzei. Because look, at nighttime it's not a mitzvah. So at nighttime it's for sure a foreign object. Okay. And so therefore, if I'm wearing my big day kahuna at night, now remember, what avoda are you doing at night?
Yeah.
Right. So generally speaking, the answer is no avoda. But Let's just assume that there's something to be done at night, right? Like the burning of the fats, the burning of the limbs. If you wear your tefillin at night, that for sure is a chatzitza, because tefillin at night is a foreign object. So here's what the Gemara's argument is. If it's a chatzitza at night, it for sure will be a chatzitza during the daytime. Okay. Now, even though, obviously, this is going to be the tricky part of this argument. Obviously, you can hear a distinction. What do you mean? During the daytime, it's a mitzvah. I'm supposed to wear tefillin. Can't you view tefillin as part of your body in the sense that it's a mitzvah? So, right, I hear that, but what the Gemara is arguing is no. Since at night it serves as a separation, as a chatzitza, because it's not a mitzvah at night, it for sure is going to serve a separation during the day. Look at the way... Let me just get through this. Look at the way Rashi formulates it. Rashi says, the Yom Nami Chaitzi, four lines down in Rashi. The Imlav Kain, Matsinu Avodas Laila, Chamir Me Avodas Yom, Vein Kalan Mehem. You're going to arrive at such a strange conclusion, Rashi explains, where the it's going to be more Chamir at night. The halachas of chatzitza are more common at night than they are during the daytime, and the daytime is the more significant time when you're doing the avoda. Most avodas, all avodas are done during the day. So it's kind of just, the conclusion will be, it's just so strange. Your nighttime chatzitza halachas are more stringent than your daytime chatzitza halachas? Good. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara's argument, and therefore leads the Gemara to the conclusion that if tefillin is not a mitzvah at night, for sure it's a chatzitza, even during the day. You know what it's like? It's like, right, we just discussed this past Shabbos, the mi'ika midi, right? You can't have a halacha that applies to a non-Jew and doesn't apply to a Jew, right? It's not tenable. So the Gemara is using a similar argument over here. I can't have a halacha which is a chatzitza at night, but not during the day. Daytime is just so much more significant.
What about the principle of mitzvah daseh to lot haseh? During the day, you know, so it's mitzvah daseh during the day and lot haseh, so it should be
dope. Okay, but... All right,
during the day.
I hear you. Wait. I'll put the question on hold with your permission. Okay. So kiti ba'alach aliba demand amar is mantfilin. Kiti ba'alach lamanda amar laila is mantfilin. So the Gemara says, okay. But let's say you're of the opinion that tefillin is man both day and night. Okay? So the Gemara says, my mitzvah de gufe chayetz or lo chayetz. So the Gemara says, the question goes like this. It's mitzvah de gufe, it's a mitzvah of your body. It's part of your body now, and there's no distinction between day and night. So maybe the argument will be when you're wearing tefillin, it's you, it's your body, and therefore it doesn't serve as a chatzitza. This question got bounced around. That's literally the Gemara's terminology. Igalgal milsa. Question gets bounced around. Umatla kame de Rabbi Ami. Finally gets in front of Rabbi Ami. Amalei Talmud Aruch Hu Biadenu Tefillin Chotzitzos. He says, look, it's nice that you're discussing it, but I have a tradition. It is a chatzitza, period. Meisve, the Gemara says, okay, how about the Braisa? Kohanim ba'avodasam levim beduchnan v'yisrael b'ma'amadan turim min atfila u'min atfilan. You have all Jews assembled in the Beis HaMikdash to do the avoda. Now the Kohanim actually do the avoda. Levim are on the pedestal and they're singing their songs. And what do the Jewish people do? What does Yisrael do? They're in their ma'amad. Ma'amados, you remember your Mishnayos and Tanis. That's the stations of the Jewish people where they would have representative Jews coming to the Beis HaMikdash weekly, on a weekly basis. And they would have their ma'amad, their actual ceremony of ma'amad, where during that week they would fast during that week and they would have special laning during that week. And that's called the ma'amados. And during this time, they would not have to daven, their pater from tefillah, and they wouldn't have to wear tefillin. And Rashi over here writes, Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. Yeah, because they're involved in a mitzvah. Now, I don't want to get stuck on this, but in other words, Tosos over there in the Gemara and Sukkah, Rashi quotes the Gemara and Sukkah, Tosos over there says, we all know Tosos. Tosos over there says, that's Efshar's L'Kaim Shneim. If you could do both, so then you don't have the exemption of Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. And it's kind of hard to understand how you can't wear tefillin and be involved in the ma'amados, right? It must be a deficiency in my understanding of what's involved in doing the ma'amados. It's got to be. Because I don't know why you can't do both at the same time. So the Gemara says, and in the meantime, however, the Gemara says, Look at the Braisa. The Braisa says, "My love, minichem eina chotzitzos." If you look carefully at the lashon, the Braisa says "pater," which means they're excused from wearing tefillin. But it sounds like if they wanted to, they could. And it's going on everybody. It's going on the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. So if you read the Braisa sounds like, look, they're exempt from wearing tefillin, but if they want to, they could wear tefillin, meaning even the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, no. Lo, im inichem chotzitzos. So ihachi peturim asurim ibaile. So the Gemara says, so I don't like the terminology. The terminology should be, it's forbidden if the issue is chatzitza. So the Gemara says, came into ika levim, v'yisraim, lo masna le'asur, mishum matani hachi peturim. So the Gemara says, you're right. We would have gone with the terminology of asur, but remember, you can't say asur by a levi. You can't say asur by Yisrael. It's not forbidden for them to wear it. So we want to use a term that's universal, that would apply to all three, Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael. The Hatanya, the Gemara still argues, im hinicham einan chotzitzos. So the Gemara says, quotes the Braisa, says it's not a chatzitza. And here the Gemara gets to its distinction, lokashya hadiyad hadarosh, not a problem. Tefillin liyad and tefillin rosh. Rashi writes, the yad, chotzitzos tehu bein beged labasar. Because look, what are you going to do? You know where your tefillin shel yad belong. It belongs on your arm. Your kesonis, your kohen, you're wearing your kesonis. You have a sleeve going down. You need the sleeve to touch your arm. Your tefillin is going to serve as a chatzitza. That's no good. The shel rosh, the Gemara says, not a problem. Because, and the Gemara here goes on to explain. The Rosh Namik Siv is Santa Mitznefes Arosho. Gemara says, what about the Mitznefes which goes on the head? And the Gemara says, Tani Saro Hayanira Bein Sitz Limitznefes. We learned in a Braisa that there was hair. So in other words, right, if we can, my keeper can serve as a template, so they didn't wear the Mitznefes up here, they wore it back. In fact, so when the Kohen Gadol wore Sitz was a head plate, right, that he wore over here, so the head plate covered his forehead. The mitznefes was kind of more on the back of his head, and so you had a tuft of hair showing in the front, shisham manichin tefillin. And that's exactly where the Kohen wore it. Conclusion, an interesting conclusion, is that when the Kohanim did their avodah, they didn't wear the tefillin shel yad, and they wore the tefillin shel rosh. Now, that's not a big deal, by the way. The Rambam writes, tefillin is two separate mitzvahs. The tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are two separate mitzvahs. Rambam counts us as two separate mitzvahs. And therefore, consequently, we can bifurcate. We can clearly separate and say, look, when you can't wear your tefillin shel yad still, you have a separate mitzvah of the tefillin shel rosh. Okay. Let's do a little bit more for today. Really a little bit more. Mechusa Kippur, and we're back to the Mishnah. Okay, now we finished Big Day Kahuna, right? Great discussion about clothing and the clothing of the Kohen. And now we're back to the Mishnah, Mechusa Begadim, one of the people who, if he does the Avodah, he's disqualified. Remember, Mechusa Kippurim refers to the person who's Tameh, goes through his Tahara process, but still, even after the seventh day, Arzav, Zava, Mitzora, and Yoledes need to bring carbon on the eighth day. Until they bring their carbon, they're called Mechusa Kippurim. If a Kohen who's a Zav, who needed to go through that process, does the Avodah, he's Mechalal the Avodah. How do I know that? Minalan Amar Rav Huna, Amar Krav, V'chiper Alav HaKohen V'Tahera. Tahara Mechlal Shihi Tamea. Tahara means that still, up to that very point, they're still in the category of Tamea, of Tameh. And we know Tameh does the Avodah, is going to disqualify the Avodah. Okay, period. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow with Kiddush Adam V'Raglayim. Washing of the hands, washing of the feet. Okay?